This is the Drive and Dish Podcast. Talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
And like PJ Tucker's a player that you can put on Kyrie Irving. You can also put him on Kevin Love, and you can also put him on LeBron James. Like, that kind of player defensively is incredibly valuable.
Kevin Rayfuse.
Be good, but I don't want to be stuck in the limbo of mediocrity. I don't want to gamble that maybe one day there's a Harden trade out there. I don't want to gamble that some team is going to be stupid and let a Steve Nash walk out the door and go to Phoenix the way Dallas did, where you stumble upon a superstar.
And Justin Kuzak.
A lot of the times, from my understanding, is close games are won by the coach calling those inbound plays and drawing up a quick sideline play for him.
Well, if you like that, you're going to love this.
Well, if anything, this is the point where we all sit there and get real excited.
Let's do this!
Let's go.
So when we introduce the show, we like to bring you guys funny, entertaining, off-the-wall stuff. Usually try to break up the basketball talk, but little did we know that this past week that would indeed be the NBA itself, which was basically the greatest reality show on television.
And for listeners that are newer to the show, I guess, what you may not know is back in the day, we used to do a check-in with Nick Young and a check-in with Joel Embiid.
We did. I forgot about that,
we
man.
We used to do that.
Yeah.
But then it was like Nick Young just kind of became a little bit irrelevant, and it just wasn't worth checking in with him anymore.
I wouldn't say he was irrelevant. It just like kind of,
His game was terrible.
Well, and it just wasn't a great segment. Like,
I loved the segment. It was
Embiid stopped tweeting.
Yeah, but he stopped tweeting because he wasn't playing. And
I forgot about that. We kept that up for a while too.
It was good. I really enjoyed the segment because it gave us like a little like, here's what's happening in their lives after the basketball. But man, oh man, has Swaggy P's life changed in the past week and a half? I guess, Kevin, you can explain what happened for people if you don't know.
Yeah. So D'Angelo Russell apparently filmed a video of Nick Young talking about that women that he's cheated on Iggy Azalea with.
How many women did he
and
list?
Well,
no, he only mentioned one.
Okay. But she was 19.
And then he said he didn't try. I mean, she's over 18. That's fine. Now, D'Angelo Russell denies it, but somehow that video
got leaked
to a gossip site and just totally went out to the public. And so, you know, Iggy Azalea had this tweet that said, I see D'Angelo Russell's trending, you know, thanks for the video, bro. I enjoyed it. And it's just like, oh my God, this is awful.
Well,
but anyway, so D'Angelo Russell's basically been isolated by the entire Lakers locker room. Mm-hmm. It's like he's not a part of the team anymore. He got booed like crazy by the Lakers crowds in his first thing after that game. There's reports that he's sitting alone at breakfast. Like,
what was the they said he sat next to Lou Williams and Lou Williams got up and left.
Yeah, he was escorted out of the Lakers arena with security.
Did you see that? Did you
practice?
See that tweet? The joke about that?
Uh-uh.
That's the most help defense anybody on the Lakers have gotten this year.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing about like when this happened is, you know, it's one of these things that's just it's not about basketball. It's kind of stupid, but the amount of Twitter jokes about
Did you hear the theory behind this?
No.
There's a Reddit theory that the Lakers are doing this so the NBA will feel bad enough to give them the number one pick.
Okay.
Yeah, I think my favorite joke, though, was the Simpsons episode where I forget who it is. One of the Simpsons characters is throwing a Frisbee, and it lands on the other side of the yard, and he runs over and grabs it, and he throws it to the other side of the yard, and someone photoshopped Russell's head onto that character, and then just kept running that scene back and forth.
Oh, dude, there's another great one too from The Wire where they've got him up on the stand and he's snitching on Nick Young and he's pointing at him at the courtroom, and it's just, oh man, it's a gold mine. The internet is amazing.
Yeah, but also like it can be like, I feel bad for the dude at the same time. Like, he just got destroyed. Like, if he actually did not leak the story himself,
how did it get leaked then? I mean, you take a video, all of a sudden,
but like
on a
I could see it. Like,
have you
Russell...
heard the conspiracy theory? No, have you guys heard the conspiracy theory? This one's
There's
good.
Another one. Oh, God.
Apparently, the biggest conspiracy theory out there right now is that somebody from Nicki Minaj's camp did it, like got her hands on it, because earlier, like 2 weeks ago, Iggy Azalea said, "I don't know why I get crap. I have as many writers on my songs as Nicki does," and you know that's like some big time shots. And you know,
yeah, no, Iggy, and I guess for people who don't know, Iggy Azalea is a rapper. I guess we should point that out. I feel like most people would know that, but just in case,
I didn't.
You didn't? No. Oh no, we play her on our top 40 station.
Okay. The thing about this though is that who was it? earlier in the week, it was Kyrie Irving's fiance or whatever that cheated on him. And
well, she wasn't his fiance; they were just dating.
Okay, well, his girlfriend. And when that happened, the internet was all. I saw a whole bunch of
same
tweet,
thing, same
well,
jokes.
No, I saw a whole bunch of tweets around, like, you know, quote unquote, bitches ain't loyal, and this is what happens when you try and treat a hoe right,
yeah,
and all this. But when Swaggy, when a dude cheats on somebody, the way it's handled across the board is like
completely different.
You're going against bro code. He did still, but you know, none of this is Nick Young is a piece of crap.
You try to treat a player right, or right. You know, a dude right. No, I get what you're saying.
I mean, it's just weird. Like, it's black and white. It's night and day.
Yeah,
and I you know, I'm not sure why we're still in a culture that allows that or encourages that or treats women that differently, and the thing from the
Kyrie story is the girl actually apparently like tried to commit suicide. It got so
well, and apparently they weren't even dating at the time. That's what Kyrie said on Twitter before he deleted it. So
I mean, it's a mess.
I mean, that one is like, you know, obviously when anytime suicide gets involved, it becomes a mess that, you know, you just hope for the best in the end of that. And yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone ever defended Nick Young's actions. It's just, I mean, D'Angelo Russell just...
No, but it wasn't Nick Young. It was all like, well, how could D'Angelo Russell break bro code?
It's more than...
But nobody was like, Nick Young's in the wrong here.
No, I think everyone, but I think it's acknowledged that Nick Young is in the wrong. He's going to have to pay for it. But D'Angelo Russell, the biggest thing for me is like, dude, you filmed it secretly. Like, that's not cool no matter what. Like,
I see what I'm thinking.
Like, that's illegal in a lot of states. We here in Florida, if we did that to somebody and leaked it on the internet, we would go to prison.
I'm not standing up for D'Angelo Russell.
No, I agree.
I also think D'Angelo Russell's 20 years old and made a mistake. Like, this shouldn't be the end
of
his NBA
career. I'm thinking what
career.
Happened was, like, he took the video and then sent it to one of his friends.
Right, and then
he's
one
like,
of his
oh,
friends.
Look, this is funny. Like, I'm an NBA player. Look at what's going on in the locker room. And then one of his friends was like, oh, shit, I can make, like, $100 off this or
right,
something.
Right,
you know?
Right, right, absolutely.
Could have given a lot more than $100 apparently.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, Iggy Azalea and Nick Young were engaged.
I'm sure they still are.
Are they?
I don't know, man. She's got money. It's not like it's one of those things where, you know, she would lose a lot of money. Who do I think? Oh, Nick Young.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it depends how long Iggy's relevant for. I think Iggy had a monster year last year in terms of sales and success.
She's starting to pick up speed again.
Yeah, I mean, NBA player salaries.
But Nick Young, Nick Young's been in the league for a long time, too. Like,
fair
career earnings. Plus, I think he's got a deal with Adidas. So, you know, there's money there. But you're listening to the Driving Dish NBA podcast. My name is Kevin Rafuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
Ball don't lie.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Kuzart.
I'm copping out. I'm saying giggity. I forgot to get a
Twitter. Oh, man, Justin, I was all excited about that.
It was one of those things I forgot to do.
You're going to have to do it on the midweek, then.
We'll do it on the midweek.
Yeah,
I'll get to that.
We're going to throw up another episode Wednesday or Thursday this week. Because this week we're talking, or this episode, we're talking about the West playoffs. Episode later on in the week, we'll talk about the East.
Okay. Yep. Okay. And then I'll get you. I promise if anybody that's really upset about this tweet thing, I'll get you then.
But each week on the show, we like to give you guys a shout out for giving us a shout out on iTunes because it helps more than you know to take a moment to leave us a review. And this week we have a review from.
Well, this week's actually, we got a Facebook review.
Oh, okay. Wow, Those are nice, but not nearly as helpful.
That's so mean.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, but if it's criticism, I'd rather them do it on the Facebook.
Right. Send us a message on Facebook. If it's good, do it on iTunes or Stitcher.
Yeah. Stitcher or Player FM. We had a few people hit us up and say they're listening on Player FM now.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good. Shout out to Player FM. But this is, like I said, it's a Facebook review. It's a 5-star review.
Okay.
It's from Ben McQueen. He's from Australia. He says, hey, guys, since I don't use iTunes to listen to your podcast, I'll leave my review here. Oh. Then there's 5 stars in parentheses.
Yeah, I was wondering how he made it a 5-star.
Yeah, I was wondering too. I was like, oh, I guess we can review. I didn't even know that.
Right.
He says, I love your show. You're right up there with the best of the podcasts for me, yours, and ESPN's NBA Lockdown are in my top class in my book. All three contributors are well balanced, and you guys are certainly know your stuff. I think it would be fantastic if you could cover college for 10 minutes or so in one of your pods each week to discuss draft prospects and the like, and maybe to explain March Madness and the seeding and such for those of us who aren't so familiar with it. You blokes are doing a fantastic job, and it's great to see Ben Simmons looking to go number one, being an Aussie myself. Ben from Queensland, Australia.
Oh, well, we actually did have a college episode scheduled.
We were going to try, yeah.
And schedules got in the way.
Yeah.
Of it's one of those things where it was like, we had to get it out before this March Madness happened.
Well, I wish we could have done it the week before, but we thought it would be more timely to do it this last
week. Right. Speaking of, not to get too off topic, I was out at the bars last night, and three guys wearing Villanova shirts got into a fight with three guys wearing North Carolina shirts. And I was just like, huh.
They
this
haven't
is
even
March
played
Madness.
Yet.
This is March Madness.
I mean, why do you care all that much? Not you, I meant them.
The Villanova, I'm a Villanova guy myself, just home team kind of thing. The Villanova guys were, it's one of those things you looked at the size of the people in the fight. And I was just like, if I'm the Villanova guys, I'm getting out of this before any swing is thrown because they were every single one of them was way smaller than North Carolina's.
Right, it wasn't a fair matchup.
No.
We would talk about college basketball more. I mean, honestly, like, Kevin's really the only one that follows it, so it's sort of a one-way conversation. Watching a ton of college games.
I'm not an expert. I watch for more prospects than anything. And in terms of prospect talk, like, we will be. Like, that's coming once we get kind of more towards the end of the playoffs, but as we get closer and as we get closer to the lottery and closer to the draft, we're definitely going to be talking prospects. You know, I'm excited to talk. You know, we've talked Brandon Ingram and Ben Simmons a little bit on this show, and, you know, I'm excited to talk Bender and Jamal Murray and some of these other guys who are going to be out there.
Isn't there a whole thing that they say after college that it's kind of like, you know who's where and what kind of might happen, but it really, people start getting impressed with people after March Madness and
Of course. Well, especially because you have to take the tournament into effect. I mean, look at a guy like Buddy Hield from Oklahoma. He was not even in the conversation, and now all of a sudden he's getting up there because he had such a good tournament run. I mean, Nova put an absolute beat down on them. But regardless, like, he played really well. It's just the thing with tournament runs and guys like that is you have the question is, you know, everybody wants to find that Steph Curry, a guy who really broke out in the tournament and obviously we know is the best player in basketball right now. But for every Steph Curry, there's also, you know, you have to remember that there's guys like Jimmer Fredette who are these college all-stars and who just never really translated into the league. That's, you know, what scouts have to do their homework at this time of year and not put all their recency bias into how good somebody did in March Madness, too.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, Brooke Lopez and Thad Young have been shut down for the remainder of the Nets season. The Nets have six more games and have already been eliminated from the playoffs. Lopez finished his season averaging 20 points, 7.8 rebounds, 1.7 blocks in 73 games. As for Young, he averaged 15 points, 9 rebounds in 73 games as well. Thon Maker is making a whole lot of headlines for the NBA right now while he is attempting to declare for the 2016 NBA draft. Maker believes he has a strong case to be considered draft eligible. He graduated from high school in Canada in June of 2015, and it's technically his fifth year of high school. We'll see if the NBA lets him. It's been reported that the Lakers tried to trade Nick Young in each of their past two seasons, but were unable to find a team willing to deal for him. The Lakers have said they are going to attempt this again this offseason. Young's production has obviously dropped. Now he's involved with his off-court issue with Russell, who the Lakers consider to be one of the members of their core. Byron Scott has also hinted that Young hasn't really been himself around the team since the issue became public, saying, quote, he's been a little bit more, I wouldn't say standoffish, but he's probably a whole lot quieter than Nick normally is. I don't really see Nick Young being a quiet guy, so yeah. Speaking of the Lakers, Julius Randle has been fined $15,000 by the NBA for doing the Sam Castle dance during the Lakers' win over the Heat. And lastly in your news with the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony apparently came up with the idea to rest their older players and play some of their younger guys so that they could develop their talent. Carmelo apparently presented the idea to Robin Lopez and Jose Calderon, who then they went to Kurt Rambis about. I feel like people have been calling for this for a while now, but good job, Knicks. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
And I know this isn't really basketball related, but sports related in general, I guess. And if you are a baseball fan, baseball has just started. And one of the cool things that we can do to help you enjoy a baseball game, because there's nothing more fun than going to one of their games, I think, personally.
Oh, absolutely. Baseball games are great.
Oh, it's so much fun. So if you download the SeatGeek app, it's free in the App Store. You can download it, and if you type in the promo code DISH, in the little settings tab. It'll save you $20 off your first purchase. And the thing that's cool about SeatGeek is you can pick anywhere in the stadium. It'll show you there's little dots of the stadium view. And if it's green, it's a good deal. If it's red, it's a bad deal. If it's yellow, it's a deal. And once you click on that, it'll show you the price, and that will be the price of checkout. There's not going to be any tax included. There's not going to be, you know, any random fees or online buying fees or you're on your phone fees or any weird things like that. And it'll hook up the show, and it'll hook you up with $20 off your first purchase. So download the SeatGeek app. They're our first sponsor, and they continue to be our sponsors, which we're very excited about. So download the app. Put in the promo code DISH. Save $20 off the first purchase that you decide to go to.
Yeah, it's great. You get those playoff tickets. Baseball's back, man. Let's go, Phils. Hey, excited to watch the kids play.
I'm not a big baseball fan, but I really, really enjoy listening to the play-by-play baseball on the radio.
Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't really know what they're saying, but I'll listen to that basically whenever I'm driving. Calling, if I don't feel like listening to politics.
Calling baseball is easily the most difficult sport to call.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Because you have so much downtime in between pitches, right, and in between plays. And, like, you really have to just... That's why there's all those crazy statistics out there, though.
But my uncle tells me this story about one of the older announcers for the Phillies where... He realized at one point if he started talking about pizza, one of the pizza places in Philly would bring him pizza. And so he started doing that, and then the Phillies went to him and were like, hey man, you can't really do that. You're giving them free advertising. So then when he had to read the list of like happy birthdays to people, he goes, happy birthdays to such and such pizza, pepperoni, and sausage. And then they would bring him... They would bring him a pizza. I was like, that's clever. Right,
dude,
there,
I so. Wish somebody brought us free pizza while we were podcasting.
You know, if any of our listeners want to just like treat us by ordering us free pizza while we're podcasting, we'd be so okay with that.
I would be totally okay with that.
But we're not here to talk about
talk about basketball.
So as Kevin mentioned earlier on the show, playoffs are about a week and a half out. And so we want to take a little bit of time to touch on this. 6-9 seed, basically, or 7-9 seed,
yeah.
Because that's really where the big battles are going on right now. And, you know, when you're watching NBA League Pass, I know, at least for me, that when I'm choosing what games I'm going to watch at night, watching the teams that neither one of them are making the playoffs and don't really care isn't fun. But then sometimes you'll catch these games where both teams are just really vying to get that spot, like the, you know, watching the Mavericks earlier over the weekend, and you know, they're playing for it, and they're playing like they want to be there, and it's
playing because they want Dirk to be there. I feel like,
yeah, Carlisle said that too.
Yeah,
and it's just, it's really exciting to, there's still exciting basketball left in the season, regardless of the fact that the season's pretty much wrapped up.
And one of the things from the Mavericks that I think we hit in a news but never really got to talk about too much is that Chandler Parsons went down, which kind of sucks.
Yeah,
that's true.
He's a really exciting part of the guy. And honestly, looking at these last few teams that are fighting for the spot, I really feel like the Mavericks are going to have the hardest time staying in the playoffs.
You mean making it to the playoffs?
Yeah, making it to the playoffs.
I mean, that being
said,
like, the Mavericks are playing really well. J.J. Barea is just, like, playing out of his mind right now. The best basketball I've ever seen J.J. Barea play.
Right. They do face, out of the Jazz, Rockets, and themselves, they have the hardest schedule going ahead, having only one team, I believe, that's actually out of contention.
Well, I mean, this game on Wednesday against the Rockets might be, like... So they play the Rockets and they play the Jazz before the end of the season. When they play the Spurs... Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be over by then. Like,
well,
the Spurs
are
going to
be resting everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so those are one of those games right there. But that game against the Rockets and the Jazz on Wednesday, and then, you know, the following Monday.
And
the
Clippers,
the
honestly, might not hone it in because Blake Griffin's just coming back.
Well,
so they might.
I mean, they might not hone it in, but they aren't going to be resting anybody because they have to get Blake Griffin.
That's what I'm saying. They got to get him back up to speed for the playoffs. So I don't think that'll be an easy game for him either. I think maybe the Grizzlies might be a little easy. I think,
dude,
man.
Hold on. For the Grizzlies, where are they sitting right now? Grizzlies aren't fifth. Are the Grizzlies the worst fifth seed or even playoff team ever?
Are they?
Oh,
so
no.
Is it? Wait, well,
I don't think they are. I think they're. You got to remember, even as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, there were teams in the Eastern Conference who were making the eight seed that were under 500.
Yeah, but
the Grizzlies,
you know,
at the end of the day
are.
I understand that, yes, and I understand how bad their lineups are. But listen, they're at the end of the day, they're above 500. I think they're not that great, but they're not the worst either.
But this is a different team than the team that won all those games.
But still, I don't think they're the worst.
I mean, they have no Marc Gasol. Zach Randolph's been banged up. Mike Conley's been banged up. They have no more Courtney Lee anymore. You know,
they're rolling out 10-day contracts out the...
Well, they've had 28 active...
Is it 27 players? Or 28? 28.
Okay. Yeah, which is an NBA record for
Matt
most
Barnes
players.
Is playing their most minutes right now.
Right. Well, Zach Harper, I was listening to an episode of Ion Basketball a few weeks ago, and Zach Harper was talking about him, and he said that you know that the Grizzlies are in bad shape when Matt Barnes goes down, and you think, oh, God, they're screwed.
And Stevenson's been actually kind of playing well for him.
You know what's funny about Stevenson, too, is how much better Stevenson is when he's the man.
When he is the guy to go to, yeah. And I think that's why he did well with the Pacers.
Well, that's that mentality he had when he was with the Pacers, is that he had to be because they needed that offensive punch, yeah. And Stevenson would be that guy when they needed somebody to just get buckets.
Well, main ball handler, when you know, he's like Rodney Stuckey for the Pacers, is you have that main ball handler on the second units.
Yeah.
And I know they tried to do that with the Clippers, but for whatever reason, Doc Rivers just didn't trust him out there. And you have Chris Paul, so you don't need to be playing him a bunch.
No.
But when you're talking about Memphis, it's like, who else is going to be handling the ball if it's not Stevenson, especially with how banged up Conley's been?
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. How they might, is there any potentially that they do not win any more games for the rest of this year? Like they just don't win any more this season. They lost to the Nuggets. They gave up a pretty good lead to the Nuggets.
What I think is really interesting is if the Grizzlies are sitting there in that fifth seed.
Well, they could drop a few seeds, for sure.
Yeah, because they're tied right there with Portland. But, you know, who does OKC match up with, right? So if OKC matches up with the sixth seed right now and Memphis does drop to that, like, it's almost worth it if you were the Clippers or OKC to find a way to make sure that you're playing the Grizzlies
in the first round
of the playoffs.
The Clippers can kind of do that because they play... And I was thinking about it. If you're the Clippers, you really want to play the Grizzlies because Blake Griffin might not fully be 100% back. They give you an easy first round. I think, and if you're playing the Trailblazers, man, they're athletic. They're running like they would run.
Well,
Blake
and there's
Griffin
always
going to
be that Dame
ground.
Lillard heat check game that can maybe steal you one. If McCollum gets hot, he can maybe steal you one. Portland's got a great home court advantage. Like, yeah, if you that seeding matters. And actually, Andrew Peterson hit us up on our Facebook page. He was kind of talking about this earlier this week and asking why no one was talking about this. But yeah, I mean, it's got major implications. At the end of the day, if you're Oklahoma City or if you're the Clippers, your second round series is either going to be against the Spurs or the Warriors, both two teams that are incredible at home. Who that if you're going to upset and knock them off, you're going to basically have to play your best series. And I just think at this point, you're going to be way more beat up playing Portland than you're going to be if you play Memphis. And so, of course, that seeding is so big for both of those teams.
Well, just looking at their schedule for the Grizzlies, they play the Magic, Bulls, Mavericks, Warriors, Clippers, and Warriors again.
Sweet.
I don't think they win.
I mean, that's probably true. But again, some of those teams might be, you know, might
be
resting.
Well, the Warriors
people.
Might no, be I mean, chasing could, that record.
So no, Warriors are going to be chasing that record. The Warriors aren't resting anybody.
Well,
I think they could go
5-1 if they lose another one, then
one
right.
more and they're done. And
so
they
maybe.
We'll get into that.
I could see them beating Orlando. I think Chicago's deflated right now. You never know. Dallas isn't playing that great right now. So
yeah,
I don't
but the Mavericks need to win to
with
keep
Chicago,
their
so do the Grizzlies though to with, get the higher
yes,
seed.
But the Grizzlies don't have
so
any
bad.
Players.
They just lost to Toronto by 4 points. I don't think it's the end of the world.
Yeah, they're running out like all 10-day contracts. They are not a good basketball team. Like McGreen might be, you know, their best player at the moment, and I just don't think that is that's a good sign for them.
No, they'll
Oh, it's been a rough year.
Yeah.
There's no other way around it. It's been a really rough year.
They lost
year
the Lakers,
Memphis.
Like, pretty recently. So.
Yeah. You know. No, like, but we spent enough time talking about the Grizzlies.
Yeah, let's move
All
on.
All right. Talking about the Jazz, though, you know, the Jazz sitting in that 8th seed right now.
I think they have the easiest schedule going
well,
ahead.
Well, they have the fewest games left. So they played the Suns, and they won. And then they got the Spurs, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Mavericks, the Lakers. So Nuggets should be a win. Lakers should be a win. Spurs, Clippers, and Mavericks.
I think the Mavericks have to be a win if the Jazz are going to make it into these playoffs, especially since it's a home game for them.
Here's my thing. I think this is the team out of all three, the Rockets, the Mavericks, and the Jazz, we're talking about them, are the ones on the upswing right now. Like, they're kind of hot right now. They beat the Timberwolves. They took the Warriors into OT.
Oh, dude. If they, I was watching the end of that game, and they missed so many free throws to end that fourth quarter right there. Like, they had the Warriors beat, and they couldn't make a free throw. And I want to talk about this while we had a chance to do it, too, because, all those post-trade deadline trades and everything, and I was thinking how impactful Joe Johnson's been and how good he's been, but
yeah,
Shelvin Mack might have been like the steal of the trade.
I think
deadline.
Who was it?
They got him for nothing.
One of our listeners on our Facebook page.
No, yeah, we've had this conversation before, and that we said that he's playing a lot of good minutes for them. I mean, I think Utah's just rounding into form. Yeah, Rudy Gobert is just one defensive player of the month. He's really done a great job at solidifying that interior defense again. We know he was banged up to really start the season, and that he wasn't playing at 100% even when he came back. And you know, I think
they're
starting.
Derek Favors went down, I was really, really worried about the Jazz.
Yeah.
But Trey Lyles has been filling in fantastically. I kind of forgot about Trey Lyles, to be perfectly honest.
Well, it was just on it because it was with the pick. It was just kind of repetitive. Like we said, there weren't going to be a lot of minutes for him. Like that pick got panned. But I mean, with the injury, yeah. I mean, it makes it look a lot better. And it's just, man, this rookie class is so good.
It's a good thing, though, for the Jazz that the injury to Derek Favors wasn't like a season-ending injury, because that just would have...
Well, and that's the other thing, is I feel like, well, maybe the Rockets are pretty healthy, but I was going to say, for the most part, I feel like the Jazz are the most healthy team out of the three
we're talking
about right
now. Well, they posted the third best defensive efficiency in March. Only the Hawks and the Spurs were better, and we'll talk about the Hawks defense a lot more and how well they've been playing on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever that episode drops. Yeah, I agree. I think Utah is going to... I think with their schedule being a little bit easier, and I think they're playing their best basketball now. And so I think they're looking pretty good get into the playoffs.
Just to go back to the Shelvin Mack talk for a second, and Tim, you were talking about how the Jazz couldn't hit a damn free throw. Shelvin Mack's, for his career, his free throw percentage is at 76%, which is, you know, whatever. This year, though, he's at 69%.
It wasn't just him.
I know, but
Rudy
that's
Gobert
a sign.
Missed a couple. I think they were like 2 for 15 or something in the fourth from the charity strike, and I mean, it was just like they had the game, and
it was theirs, and they lost it.
It's really rough to lose a game like that, but he has just been so, you know, and that was the position of need that really the Jazz needed to fill, and you know, Shelvin, he wasn't getting a lot of minutes with the Hawks, and I thought when he played, though, he was really good for the Hawks, especially in the postseason last year. And, you know, I'm just really happy to see him go somewhere where he can get the minutes.
Well, and so looking at the Rockets schedule, they play 5 lottery teams. They play the Thunder, and they won. They play the Mavericks on the 6th. They play the Suns, Lakers, Timberwolves, and Kings. I feel like that's a pretty, for the most part, those guys are playing for ping pong balls at this
yeah,
point.
Like nobody wants to win those games. So
maybe the Timberwolves, because they want to see their core.
Well, the Timberwolves aren't playing for lottery balls. The Timberwolves are playing to win with a bad team,
so
or
maybe
with a young team.
Maybe the Timberwolves would be a tough one, and obviously the Thunder were tough. But and maybe the Mavericks, but after that,
dude, the Mavericks are playing for their postseason career too.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just glad that we have something to watch. Coming down the stretch of the season, I know how March is just such an. I realize it's April, but March in general is just kind of like the lull of the NBA when everyone's ready to get to the playoffs.
Well, they have that in baseball too. They get to that, like, you know, it's just like, okay, man, come on, let's get to the playoffs. Like, let's get exciting again. So, but yeah, no, I'm excited to see how this plays out. If I'm picking 2 to make it, I think it's going to be the Jazz and the Rockets. I don't think the Mavericks got this.
See, I'm going Mavericks and Jazz.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go Jazz and Rockets as well. I just think the Rockets' schedule is so soft.
Yeah.
I mean, besides, I mean, they played this Thunder.
They're the most
inconsistent
team.
And that's the thing, is they're up and down, but I mean,
losing big leads in the fourth.
That Dallas game will be interesting, but I mean, Phoenix and LA and Sacramento and Minnesota, I mean, they all have to win those games. And I just think they're in position. I think they're, with that schedule being easier, I think they'll do just enough to sneak by and get in.
Don't delay hot.
It's time for hot takes from Reddit.
Hot, right?
Hot take number 1.
Give Byron Scott this Celtics roster, and he will turn it into a lottery team.
Oh, that's so accurate.
That couldn't be more accurate.
Byron Scott's such a... Brad Stevens, we talk about him getting the most out of this roster and probably has that roster playing the best basketball that they could possibly play. He's totally maximizing their talents. Oh, God, Byron Scott with the dreadful offense and non-defense he runs with the Lakers. Yo, God, they'd be terrible.
My thinking is, I feel like for a lot of coaches, you might be able to say that, though. Like, it takes a specific coach to see all these players and make them work together the right way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Brad Stevens is a really good coach.
Evan Turner relevant again.
Brad Stevens is a really good coach.
How much do you think that the Celtics win over the Warriors in Oracle is going to be good for their psyche going into the playoffs? Like, how much of an impact?
Especially without Crowder, too, especially. Talk about how much he means to that team and how much they could struggle a little bit without him. And, yeah, I think that's huge for them. You could see it, Jared Sullinger's tweet, the April Fool's Day tweet following that game. I mean, that's huge for them.
Here's my thinking, is you take that game footage and you send it to Kevin Durant and you send it to Kevin Love. And you just say, just so you know.
And Kevin Love?
Yeah, both of them. If you can get guys to come to the Celtics.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
This offseason, you say, hey, you know.
We beat the
Warriors.
We
just wanted
at home
to show you this.
Dude, could Jay Crowder for Kevin Love be the new Klay Thompson for Kevin Love?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Dude, no. Like, Kevin Love is a damn good player.
No,
I was on Real GM last week, and they wrote this article about, I think it was titled something like, Dear Cavs, it's not that hard to figure out how to use Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you'll have to send me that link. I want to read it.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know, like, he might have been a little bit overrated in Minnesota, but he's still a damn good player that they are so grossly misusing.
Just so you know, I just thought of a title for in the offseason when we're talking about Kevin Love trades, which
it's going to happen.
Spoiler alert, it's probably going to happen. One of our episodes will be called For the Love of God.
I like that.
That's a good one, right?
There's a lot of love puns you could do.
Oh, yeah.
Where is the love?
Oh, yeah. No, we go. There's a whole lot.
Is love?
We'll just have like a whole month of love puns as our titles.
Hot take number two.
Andrew Bynum is in his prime, 28 years old, and he's 7 foot tall. I reckon he can come back into the NBA and make a splash if he can get on a team with lots of veterans. This guy averaged 19 and 12 in the 2011-2012 season. He's still an unstoppable force in the paint when he's in his right mind. If we compare him with Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, or even LeBron James, I think he can come back and be one of the greatest centers to ever play the game in the 2010s decade. Just like the Sixers took a gamble, I'm willing to lay it all on the line and gamble and bring him back, even with his physical injuries.
No, because I don't want to speak of Andrew Bynum's name ever again.
No, that guy was literally making me mad that he was making money.
Oh, yeah.
And I can say that about so few people on this earth.
He wasn't playing and he was getting paid.
And he would just kept getting contract after contract, and the dude ain't playing.
It's because of his potential, though.
And it's just, if anybody deserved, there are so many guys that are training, that have trained their entire lives, that are stuck in these really bad situations, that they're stuck in the D League, and all they want to do is play, and they are really working to get it, that anybody else deserves a roster. There's only so many roster spots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he was taking one by just bowling his knees away.
Right. And no.
That was my favorite hot take I've ever found, by the way.
That one's too hot.
I hate you for that hot take.
That's so spicy.
Hot take number three.
Carl Anthony Towns is shooting above 50%, just over 50.3%, from 16 to 24 feet from the rim, which leads the NBA, which begs to the question, is Carl Anthony Towns a better shooter than Andrew Wiggins?
No. Like, Andrew Wiggins is a good shooter. And I'm a little bit worried that Andrew Wiggins, that they're starting to teach him to take bad shots and just not really putting him in the best scenario to get the full potential out of him. And I worry about them teaching him bad habits, but Andrew Wiggins is a much better shooter than Carl Anthony Towns. Like, it's not even close. And a lot of the times, like, when Carl Anthony Towns is taking those shots, you know, he's wide open because there's a center that doesn't want to come out of the paint. The Wiggins is being guarded by small forwards and wing players. That's a vast difference.
And I think they both help each other in a way with their shooting percentage because they're both a threat.
Ricky Rubio helps a lot too. Like, they have a point guard that can get you the ball at the right time when you're open in a spot you like.
You're talking about Zach LaVine, right?
Ricky Rubio.
Oh, okay.
Ricky Rubio. Zach LaVine, he was good for a little while, but Zach LaVine's been
calming down
recently.
Yeah. I agree. He's kind of making me eat my words with, I forget what award I was willing to give him.
He's really good at dunking, though.
He is very good at dunking.
And for the record, I don't think Towns is a better shooter than Wiggins.
So do we agree that all three of those hot takes were a bit too hot?
No, I think yours was on point.
Okay. The one about Brad Stevens turning the Celtics into a dumpster fire is accurate.
I kind of think that would happen. Right. Yeah.
So you're listening to the Dravendish NBA podcast. Tim Tompkins, Kevin Rayfuse, Justin Cuzart. If you download SeatGeek, make sure you put in the promo code DISH and you'll save $20 off your first purchase and you'll support the show.
So there was an interesting little war, and this one just, man, that breakup just has never gotten any better. Reggie Jackson. He's not the biggest fan of the Thunder, which we know after he left. But anyway, so the Pistons played the Thunder the other night, gutted out a pretty big win. Reggie Jackson was hyping up the crowd and waving his hands and getting everyone involved. Russell Westbrook wasn't too big of a fan of it. He called it bullshit in an interview after the game. And then Kevin Durant made some comments saying,
"Bush League."
Well, yeah, he's like, it's Bush League. And it's just like, you know, who cares about Detroit? It's Detroit. Like, why do I care about Detroit? And so Stanley Johnson responded saying, you know, KD, I like you, but that's an entire shot in my team. So we're going to circle this calendar. We're going to circle this game on the calendar pretty much from here on out. Like,
yeah, so
made
next
an enemy
year, watch
in Detroit.
Out. I saw that.
Right.
My thing is, Detroit fans. Reggie Jackson single-handedly took you out of the running to get KD this summer.
I mean, I don't think
he wasn't going to go to Detroit.
I don't think the Pistons had any money to make that happen.
No,
anyway.
No.
It's always okay to dance, and just so everyone knows, when Justin and I play pickup, we always dance after one of us makes a shot. But the way that Reggie Jackson like danced around the whole court, it was a bit much.
Like, of course,
it
was a bit much. It was petty as hell. Like, yeah, it's a big win for the Pistons. Like, there's no doubt about that. Like, the Pistons have every right to be fired up. It's a big win for them. They're chasing those final playoff spots in the East. And when you beat a team that's as good as the Thunder, you know you deserve that right to be fired up. But come on, that's so, the entire court, that's so petty. And you know Reggie Jackson is loving every single minute.
Is this
of
a
this.
Little bit of a rivalry starting to?
Maybe a rivalry between Reggie Jackson and Russell Westbrook, and I guess like I my thoughts think, is why are you what are you so mad at? Because the Thunder didn't have the money or they didn't want to pay you? Like,
you don't see Harden upset about
well,
it.
Well, right, it's just like Reggie Jackson just kind of like, it's like, dude, you're in Detroit, you found a good place to play, you guys are playing good ball, like, grow up and get over it.
And
like move on.
At the end of the day, you were behind Russell Westbrook. It's not like you were like you were behind a top two or top three, it, depending on how you look at yeah. point guard in the league.
And it's a business. Like, this happens. It's part of the business. It's unfortunate, but it's a business.
Yeah, but you got to take the, like, I don't know, the personal feeling of getting, like...
Reggie Jackson should want to beat them. There's nothing yeah. wrong with Reggie Jackson wanting to beat the Thunder, but it's like, dude, get over it. It's been 2 or 3 years now. Like, let it go, move on, and, you know, celebrate your win.
I can't wait to see, like, if more Markieff Morris's numbers are, like, way higher when he plays this.
He did, and they were.
Okay. I want to see if that trend continues.
Yeah, no, it was, well. He scored, like, it was 20-something points, like, 4 blocks, 3 steals, 5 assists,
well, didn't,
9 boards.
Didn't Marcus Morris have, like, 30 against you earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
But you know, Markieff Morris came out and when they played the Suns, I'll keep this really short, but he said all the right things. He said, "Look, I had a really good 4 years there. It's a shame it ended that way, but at the end of the day, I really enjoyed my time and no hard feelings." Mm-hmm. So, you know,
except you the fans hate you now.
Right.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Also, we posted this picture of Kobe on our Instagram page.
And it said, and I guess he had only played 9 minutes that game or something. And so, it, like, the tweet said, not sure if Kobe went 9 rounds or 9 minutes. And he had wrap on his shoulder, on both his knees. He looked beat up. He looked tired.
You know what about that picture, though?
What?
As I was looking at that picture, I'm like, that's how I feel after every time we play pickup.
It really is, though.
Yeah.
But just what it takes to be, like, you know, to do what Kobe Bryant
right.
has done.
Kobe's just so old at this point, and it's just like, they do these games.
Are these last
end.
Few games going to
they
kill
need
him?
They
like,
need to end for Kobe.
It needs to be over.
We have to make a pact that, like, the group of us, the three of us, are going to be watching Kobe's last game.
Of course.
Like, we have to, whatever night of the week it is. There was one picture that...
If it's not on a Friday, the NBA really screwed that up, because right. everybody's going to watch.
Right. There was one picture that came up on social media that was Kobe playing... Steph Curry's father and playing Steph Curry, and it's like, you know you're old when you play the father and the son.
Yeah. Oh, his last games, the last game's against the Jazz, April 13th. It's a Wednesday.
Oh, at 10:30 at night.
10:30
sweet.
At night.
Awesome.
And I bet your league pass will be canceled the next day too, so you can't even catch it the next day.
Yeah, you can't go back. Yeah. Oh man.
Oh man. Yeah. There's that's gonna probably
say,
get DVR'd. I'm not gonna lie.
I'll say for Kobe, looking at it for Kobe's aspect of having to play, man, he does not have an easy schedule going forward. He's got They just played the Celtics. They got the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Rockets, the Thunder, and the Jazz.
He had made this one comment too. It was about one of the players getting pissed off, and he's like, "What are people pissed off? Like, what are the players getting pissed off about? We aren't making the playoffs."
They got a technical. He got a technical foul, a technical. And Kobe's like, "Why is he doing that? Like, we're not making." Right. Speaking of technical fouls, did you see the headline? I think it was Wednesday, when it's like, this is why Rondo and Cousins were meant to be teammates. They both got technical fouls at the exact same time.
Right.
Rondo got kicked out of the game, and Cousins was suspended for the next game and had a fine.
Because he hit his 16th. We posted the stat on how much money.
Almost a million.
Yeah, no. It was almost a million. Cousins in fines has lost $894,000 over his NBA career.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, he got so many texts this season that he got suspended. That's a lot of texts.
I would do a lot of things with $894,000.
I would sit on it and count it
every day.
And I'd make sure it's all in one so I could just like keep counting my money.
Dude, that's so much. Do you know how much space that's going to take up if it's all in ones?
I'd sit on it, man.
Mm. Dude, I'm just saying, like, it would probably like go to your ceiling.
Fine.
You can't sit on it then.
Well, I mean, my house ain't that big.
Can't sit on it.
So another thing that's bad that we were talking about this week, which actually was a lot of fun, because we kind of had this conversation going with Josh Lloyd, and then I was like, you know what? We've been going back and forth on this for so long. We need to make this a Reddit question and a Facebook question, and so we posted on our Facebook page, you know, who do you think is the worst NBA player that gets a good amount of minutes? Which Reddit, right, by the way, did not like. Gets a good amount of minutes.
Well, by the way, we don't really think Kent Bazemore is the worst player.
No, that was Josh Lloyd from Fantasy Red Rock. That was his pick.
That was his joke. Yeah, no, and so, you know.
And he doesn't actually think he's the worst, but whenever I listen to Josh's podcast, he always jokes about it. So.
Well, because he's not, But it was a lot of fun. And some of the names that were thrown out on that Facebook post, Stuart O'Kell said Birdman.
That's because Stuart O'Kell hasn't seen Birdman's Eurostep.
That's a massive Eurostep. The Maxwell, I want to apologize to you. I see that your post was, you were very upset about us putting Kent Bazemore on there. So I apologize that you...
Again, it wasn't us. That was Josh Lloyd. Right. I like Kent Bazemore. I can't wait to see how much Kent Bazemore makes this offseason. There's a couple of players, really quick before we get back to this, I want to see how much Jordan Clarkson gets this offseason.
Steve Sanders said Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, that's valid, but Kendrick Perkins doesn't really get all that many minutes.
Yeah, and he's just a bruiser. He's just supposed to come in and knock someone out and then get a technical and go away. Adam said Jakar Sampson, which is probably fair. That's a good one.
My pick was Andre Robertson.
Yeah, I know. That's what started this whole thing. Actually, people were upset about that pick as well.
Well, they were wrong.
He's got positive win shares, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, that helps when you're on a team that wins a lot.
Adrian on our Facebook page says James Johnson as well. Could be.
I was watching James Johnson the other night, and I was actually going to throw this out. I was like, you know, it's not a comment or a discussion we really need to get in now, but I was going to ask you guys at some point. I have it on my phone for topics for the show, right, ideas. What do you guys think of James Johnson's game? He's like, I really like James Johnson in small doses.
Okay.
All right. Okay. That is a ringing endorsement if I've ever heard one.
I do. I really like his game, just in really small doses.
You've got mail.
Gather around, everybody.
Oh, boy.
So just a disclaimer before we start this one. If you sent us a question on Twitter this week, we have it, and we're going to answer it on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever our midweek episode drops. We want to do two mailbags. So
on that note, if you have another mailbag question, you can tweet us, use the hashtag mailbag. We're at Drive and Dish Podcast on Twitter, and we'll make sure to get to it on Wednesday.
Absolutely. But so the first question, let's get right into it on Facebook. It comes from our friends at Crazy Stats. They ask, out of the Sixers, Knicks, Kings, Suns, Bucks, and Timberwolves, who do you think will reach the finals first?
Oh, Timberwolves.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's clearly got to be the
Bucks?
Timberwolves.
You don't think Bucks?
No. I think the Timberwolves, like...
The Timberwolves are Towns and Wiggins.
Dude, yeah. And just like Karl Anthony Towns is, oh my God, good. And I think Karl Anthony Towns is going to be like at his peak right when the Warriors are kind of done.
Yeah.
And I just like that. It's really the whole court too. Like if they can find a way to keep Shabazz Muhammad and Gorgie Jang and Wiggins and Levine and Karl Anthony Towns together, like they have a solid core.
Yeah, they're just the most put along. I mean, the Bucks at the end of the day.
They got Adetokounmpo though.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks have a lot going on too, but, you know, the NBA's, like Kevin likes to point out, it's all about having that star player, and I just think that the Timberwolves, out of all those teams, have a legit one.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's literally what it all comes down to me. Next question comes from Ben Stewart Bates. He asks, what do you guys make of the Grizzlies coach Dave Yeager? At times this season, I've been impressed with what he's gotten out of such an injury-depleted roster, and I wonder if he's someone they should keep on board as they transition out of the grit and grind era. On the other hand, he could just be really good at coaching that distinct style of basketball and has benefited from the talented roster around him. I would personally keep him because I think he's shown this season his ability to adapt to a changing roster, and in past seasons, his ability to make his teams outside contenders with no real superstars on the roster. Love the show. Keep up the good work.
The Grizzlies have had 28 players on their roster this year, and they're currently sitting in the fifth seed in the West. Extend them. Give them the money. If that's not coaching, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think with all the, like you said, all the different rosters they've run out, all the big-time injuries to Randolph and Gasol and Conley and all these other guys, Chalmers, after they got him in the trade deadline. And yeah, I think you have to keep him. I think I don't think you fire a coach because you missed expectations when your entire team was hurt. Like, no, that's not
anything,
the coach's fault.
They exceeded it
at
this point. Yeah,
absolutely. The fact that they're in that mix, absolutely. Dave Yeager's got to stick around for me.
I'm willing to put $20 that the Grizzlies do not win another game this season.
You really want to make this bet, huh?
I'm positive that's not going to happen.
You want to make 20? So how many games left? There's six?
I'm pretty sure
you want to bet $20?
Hold on. Let's pull it up. Grizzlies schedule. And even I'll even put the playoffs. Like, I don't think they'll win a game in the playoffs either.
I mean, they'll get.
I mean, that's
one, two, three, four, five. There's six games left.
Who are
there's
they playing?
Six games left. They're playing Magic, Bulls, Mavericks, Warriors, Clippers, and Warriors.
Oh, I don't want to make that bet.
$20?
$20. I bet they don't beat any of them.
I'll bet you $20.
All right, deal.
All right, then I'm the witness.
We will post on the 13th or 14th of April who won that bet.
Okay.
All right. Done and done.
Just a real quick shout out, too, before we get on to the next mailbag questions. I want to wish everybody luck that is in their final week of their fantasy basketball podcast season. It's the last week, so good luck to everybody. And Stuart, if you're out there listening right now, we're tied, buddy, so...
That's something.
You better beat him.
I got two major injuries that happened to me this week. And it's one of those injuries where if it was during the middle of the season, the teams were contending, they'd probably have them play, but it's like
they're starting not to.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you got a hernia.
You know what teams you should start looking into? The Grizzlies or
right. That's true.
The Grizzlies or the Jazz.
Somebody's gotta put some stats up.
Yeah, someone's gotta score, so
all right, so the final question comes from Vincent Ho. He's checking in from Hong Kong. And so his question is, as someone with a finance background, I wonder what are the financial incentives for teams fighting for the eighth spot, especially in the West? The Jazz, Rockets, Mavericks are likely to be swept in the first round, and the only upside for them is TV revenue for four games and gate receipts for two games. I don't buy the argument about attracting free agents by making it to the playoffs, as I would have thought players would join the teams based on potential, how big the market is, etc., rather than their track record of merely making the playoffs. What am I missing?
Well, I mean, you have all those receipts he mentioned are correct. You also have the concessions. The players get a financial bonus for making it into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Someone had broken down the amount of money that owners specifically are making per playoff game, and it's pretty substantial. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those teams, like a lot of owners, are losing money in the league, and making the playoffs makes your entire yearly budget. It's such a huge difference.
Yeah. Well, and it generates buzz for next season, too. I mean, I think the casual fan, if they see a team make the playoffs, is they're immediately going to be interested in next season.
Oh,
more
dude,
than
what
not.
What it'll do to the Jazz if the Jazz make it, if the Suns would have made it this season, what that would have done for ticket sales and for, you know, you're talking about a season ticket holders the next season. Like, it's huge.
I remember it would have been last or this offseason in the summer. This kid that I had just happened to meet at the bar, I was telling him we did a podcast, and then I saw him a week later, and he goes, oh, yeah, I'm never listening to your podcast ever again. And I was like, oh, why is that? He's like, you stupid effers, because we're not cursing on this podcast anymore, apparently. No,
right.
He goes, you stupid effers said the Jazz are going to be in the playoffs or be close to the playoffs. They're not going to be anything. And I said, I promise you. They will be.
That's his reason for not listening to us
anymore?
He said
that shows that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, I can't. I hope that he remembers that moment.
Did you just say we weren't cursing on the podcast anymore?
I really hope whoever that is, like, remembers that moment and comes back and leaves a review saying how right the two of you were.
Mm-hmm. We shall see.
Yeah, yeah. We did pick the Jazz to make the playoffs. So
yeah,
it's good.
I think I had the Jazz as a ninth out. So, but I mean, it's not decided yet.
I think it's because you had the.
I mean, we all had Portland out. If that makes anyone feel better.
I mean, I think everybody had Portland out.
Yeah,
I think I had the Mavs out too.
Yeah, I think I had the Mavs out as well. Yeah.
Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Right. And so thank you, everybody, so much for listening to the Drive and Dish podcast. If you haven't had a chance yet, go ahead and download the SeatGeek app and go into the settings. Put in the promo code DISH. You get $20 off your first purchase when you buy concert tickets or NBA playoff tickets, whatever that might be. And it supports the show.
Side note, too, that last mailbag question was from Hong Kong. Like, dude, how sweet would it go to Hong Kong be? That's like on my bucket list of cities to go to and stuff.
My uncle toured there.
That's cool. Yeah, I know it. I hear it's great.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, you should listen to the show. It's on iTunes. If you're not an Apple listener, you can listen to us on Stitcher. We're on Player FM, and all our episodes are on thedriveanddishpodcast.com. That's our website, so you can check them out there. I feel like there's something I'm missing.
We're on Blog Talk.
Well, yeah, we do got a shout out to the good folks at Blog Talk Radio for hosting the show. It's always a wonderful thing.
We're on Instagram.
We are.
Follow us on Instagram at Drive and Dish Podcast, on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. And on Facebook at facebook.com/driveanddish.
Yeah, so we talked for a minute. I forgot to throw this out, but we talked for a minute about worst player in the league. That post is still up there, so if you're listening to that, you want to chime in on the discussion.
Or if you just want to join in on the people that are yelling at us for the Kent Bazemore thing.
And again, it's not us. That's Josh Lloyd. Blame it on him.
Josh. Just throwing him under the bus.
Hey, I think it's hilarious, man. I love his podcast. I listen to it all the time.
I think we've done enough dancing for today, so why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, Star Side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Get in the hole!
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young!
All right, I think they get the point.